Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 17th Perek, Perek Yud Zayin in Sefer Shmuel Beis. Let's put ourselves in David HaMelech's shoes right now. David HaMelech is in full flight from his son Avshalom. He has abandoned Yerushalayim. He has taken with him his core group left behind, the Kohanim, and he is now on his way out. So what's going on in the other camp? What is happening in the Avshalom camp? So, as David HaMelech is exiting, Achitophel, who remember was David's advisor and tremendous Talmud Chacham, who defected to the side of Avshalom, his son, and Achitophel has a very specific plan. He says, now is the moment to act. Avshalom, let me marshal 12,000 soldiers, meaning a small fighting force, and as David is now retreating, let's go wipe him out right now. Meaning to say, David is at his weakest, so let's take full advantage of this moment and go kill him. And it says, Vayishar hadavar ba'ay b'nei Avshalom uve'nei zekol ziknei Yisrael. Avshalom liked the plan. And in fact, all the elders of Israel also liked this plan. But oddly enough, Avshalom then turns to Hushai. Remember, Hushai is David's friend who'd stayed and had stayed to be a spy for David to relate messages to Tzadok, who was the Kohen. So Avshalom says, well, after we've heard Achitophel's advice, Hushai, what do you say? What would you suggest? So Hushai comes along and says, that would not such a great idea. If we were to send the force now, you know, David HaMelech is a very wild man. David HaMelech is a very dangerous man. His soldiers are morei nefesh, are bitter spirits, meaning, you know, this is David HaMelech's core fighting group who we saw before, we saw what they were capable of. If you corner him in a city, he's going to fight back in a terrible way. There'll be many casualties in this battle. Don't do it now. You know what a bad idea is? Is, you know, because if he fights back and he kills, he's going to really, you know, everybody's going to be terrified to continue the counterattack. So here's the idea. Rather, let's let him settle down. While he's settling down, let us bring a force. You have such support from north to south. Let's bring a really large force and then come and destroy David with no risks taken. Don't take a small force. Take hundreds of thousands of people. Kill David. Kill all his people. Besiege him and get rid of him in this way. And what happens after he finishes giving this advice? Interestingly enough, Avshalom says, and all of Ish Yisrael, Tova atas Hushai arki me'atas Achitophel. They say, wow. You know, Hushai, what a great idea. They really like what Hushai has just said more than what Achitophel advised. And then the Tanakh breaks down the third wall and turns to us and says, V'Hashem tzivo lohafer atzas Achitophel hatova leva'avur hovi Hashem es el Avshalom es ara'a. Really, the fact that Avshalom liked the advice of Hushai over that of Avshalom, of Achitophel, was in fact trip him up. It was not rational that he should have followed that advice. It was for his own detriment that Hashem was doing this. We're the reader being told this. Avshalom does not know that. So what happens? While this is now being arranged, Hushai quickly turns to Tzadok and Eviyasar the Kohanim, and he says, this is what I advised, this is what Avshalom is going to do, and this is what you should tell David. David, get out of here, go across the Jordan right now, because you can't wait, I've given you a window of time. And that's what he says. In the meantime, how do they get the message out? So the sons of Tzadok are called Yehonatan and Achimatz. They are actually outside the city limits in a place called Ein Rogel. Rogel also means a spy, so it's of course related to what the activity they're doing. So Tzadok sends out a woman who is a shifcha, who's a servant in his household, to give them the message that they should bring it to David. While she is doing this, as she meets them, and they meet in her house outside by the well, somebody oversees what's going on and warns Avshalom. Avshalom immediately sends forces and troops to her house, and in the short amount of time they get wind of this, and she hides them in a well and spreads a blanket over the well, and she tells the soldiers that they already passed, and then they manage to get out. Very similar kind of circumstances to the original spies when they came to the house of Rachav HaZonah. Very similar kind of description over here. Nonetheless, The men go out, they tell David HaMelech, and David HaMelech does in fact escape. He goes eastwards, crosses the Jordan, and interestingly enough, while this is happening, Avshalom now reappoints a new general over his army, whose name is Amasa. Amasa is going to replace Yoav. Yoav was David's general, so now that Avshalom doesn't have a general, he takes Amasa. Who is Amasa? Amasa, though we're told that he's the son of Yisra HaYisraeli, and is a product of Yisra and Avigail, the daughter of Nachash. Interesting. Because who's also the sister of Tzeruiah. Tzeruiah is the mother of Yoav. So somehow he's related to Yoav, but he's also connected to Nachash, who's an Ammonite. So there's a lot of interesting lineage which is going on over here, which needs to be unpacked. Nonetheless, in this last moment, we're told in the Perek that as David HaMelech settles down on East Jordan, Shovi, his name is Shovi, the son of Nachash, from Ammon, and Machir ben Amiel, and Barizillai Giladim, these three individuals start bringing food and support to David HaMelech, such desperately needed support to David HaMelech, and he sits in the desert and is now in a much better shape because of the reprieve he got from Hushai's forewarning. Let's just look at this parak from a holistic perspective and think about a few points. Number one is you see something really strange over here. You know, here Avshalom has asked his key advisor, Achitophel, what to do. He listened to Achitophel in the last parak to rape his father's Peleg Shep. We know that. Now he asks Achitophel, and the matter is good in his eyes, and it's good in the eyes of the elders, and he still asks Hushai. Why does he ask Hushai? Meaning, if he got good advice, then go for it. That's a pull the trigger and go for it. Why does he even ask this for a second opinion? So the Metzilas David says a very interesting thought, which I think is very important psychologically to remember. And that is David HaMelech didn't really trust Hushai, even, because he didn't know which side Hushai was on. But he said, look, let me just hear what you have to say. Meaning, let me adjudicate the information you're going to give me based on its own value. So I'm going to hear you, I'll hear your advice, and I'll think about it. And if it's worthwhile, I'll listen to it. But the point is that he didn't feel that hearing the information is going to impact his decision-making process. And unfortunately, or fortunately for the bigger picture, but unfortunately for Avshalom, he was incorrect. This is important to realize, is that sometimes we say to ourselves, you know, watching that material, reading that literature, I can decide afterwards whether to or not to accept the ideologies which are underpinning that or not. And the truth is, not really. You have to be very, very careful. Sometimes there has to be decisions made before you hear things, before you see things, because if you allow it in, you're a changed person when making the decision whether or to or not to accept it. That's what happened to Avshalom over here. The Malbim says that no, actually, one of the reasons why David HaMelech could not accept Achitophel's advice was because Achitophel was telling him to murder his own father. And as much as Avshalom had his own eye on the crown, and as much as Avshalom really wanted to have the kingship, nonetheless, going that far was too oppressive to him. He needed to find another way, which was perhaps a little less immediate, a little less directly killing David, which is why the son in Avshalom is speaking out as he asks for the second opinion over here. One or two other things just to think about when looking at this parak. It is interesting, you know, there's many parallels in history about when it comes to this. When it came to towards the end of the Civil War in America, there was a particular incident in which Abraham Lincoln sent a letter, a very specific letter, to his general, General Meade, dated in July 14th, 1863. It was at a particular point in the Civil War where the retreating Confederate troops were caught by the river, the swelled river, and this was the moment where General Meade could have attacked and really brought down the Confederate force and stopped the continued war. And Abraham Lincoln sent entreaties to not hold a war council, to go straight to war. And what ended up happening was General Meade held a war council, and by the time he got his act together, in the meantime, the Confederate forces managed to cross the river and escape, and there were many more casualties because of the escape of General Lee's army to the south. And the anger which Lincoln poured into a letter, which he actually ultimately never sent to General Meade, is very clear in the disappointing loss of that moment. That's what Achitophel is saying, Lahavdil, going back in history. This is when it originally happened. Achitophel was saying to David, now's the moment, and Avshalom does not listen to that. He listens to Hushai and Baruch Hashem for David. He did not listen to it because that moment was lost. David HaMelech was able to escape in that small breath of time. One thing which I left out when mentioning this parak is that when Achitophel, the bad advisor, the defected advisor found out that his advice was not listened to. He did something very curious. He went home and hanged himself. He strangled himself to death and was buried in his family plot. Why? Why did he do something so extreme? So the Mefarshim debate this. The Chomas Anach, that's again the Chida on Tanakh, says the reason why he strangled himself was because he realized when he saw that his advice was not adhered to, he knew that Avshalom was on the way down. He knew that God was involved over here. If this is going to happen, the moment that Avshalom loses, you know what's going to happen? David Melech is going to come back in force, and David Melech is going to kill in no and give no mercy to Achitophel himself for having defected to the other side, and therefore Achitophel says, let me kill myself first, because you know what? If the king kills me, he will reappropriate my property. If I kill myself, it will go to my children. The king has no rights to it. And as well, he's buried in his own family burial plot because he killed himself. Not, and if the king had killed him, he would have been buried in a different section. So Achitophel, knowing the writing was already on the wall, took this action, this very extreme action, to kill himself over here. Last point to think about in this parak is it's interesting that the person who leads the effort in supporting David on the Transjordan over here is a person by the name of Shovi ben Nachash. Interestingly enough, Nachash was the previous king of Ammon. We know about another son of Shovi, of Nachash, whose name was Hanun. He was the king that David HaMelech sent his emissaries to just a few prokem back, and they were embarrassed and sent back with half beards. Remember that? So isn't it interesting? Who is this Shovi? So some of the Farshim say Shovi means that actually Hanun, who was that king who rejected and embarrassed David HaMelech, wasn't like the king of here. He did Shovi. His name was Shovi, to return, and he now completely respected David HaMelech and took the opportunity to give to David HaMelech. Very, very fascinating perspective in terms of the turnaround. The Malbim says that whether Shovi was Hanun himself or somebody else, doesn't really matter. What really matters over here is that David HaMelech has now received his due judgment. David HaMelech has really suffered his exile, his embarrassment publicly by leaving his home, and because he's already suffered that, it's now finished. Now the tides have turned. David HaMelech is now on the incline back up again after that's happened, and that's why this sign of benevolence is a sign that David HaMelech is going to be winning after all this terrible disgrace. It is interesting to me, just as a side point, that Ammon was the nation who was rejected from marrying into the nation of Israel, because this is the one thing they didn't do to Israelites in the desert, is that they did not, that they did not come out to you, Israel, when you were in the desert, coming to the land of Israel, in the Torah. And it's interesting, there's almost like a tikkun, there's almost some sort of correction which is being made at this moment when David HaMelech is now rejected from his own territory and is supported by the foreigners, by the Ammonites. Anyways, this concludes the parak. Next parak, we're going to start seeing the war as it unfolds between David's forces, between Absalom's forces, and the ultimate end of this very terrible saga. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.